Grace and peace be yours in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I invite you to take out your hymnal and turn it over to page 320. This is the Athanasian Creed, the longest creed that the church confesses, and many of you love to confess this creed. Maybe not all of you. We usually confess this creed on Trinity Sunday when we confess the mystery of the Trinity, and these words wrestle with how to say it. But I want to do it tonight. We are going to confess this creed. So some of you guys are thinking, oh, good. And some of you thinking, I got to practice my breathing right now, right? But what I want to notice is, and this is, as I said before, I'm going to preach a sermon series called FAQs. I literally have received an email that asks a specific question. Does the Athanasian Creed teach works righteousness? So I want to read. Now, you notice the Athanasian Creed is so long, it numbers itself by verses. So if you look at verse 39, I'm on page 320. And you can keep your hymnal here because we're going to say the creed right after the message. But 320 says, those who have done good will enter into eternal life, and those who have done evil into eternal fire. So you see where the question comes from, right? Does the Athanasian Creed teach works righteousness? Well, that might ask the question, well, what is works righteousness, right? And so let's talk about that for a minute and why we don't teach works righteousness in the Lutheran Church. Works righteousness is the idea that if you behave well enough, you can earn your own salvation. Now, we know better than that. If you've heard Lutheran preaching for very long, you know, well, that's not the way it is. But what happens is we forget how natural that is. If you were to say to the average person, how are you saved? And they're not thinking biblical witness. It's very obvious to say, well, if there is a God, he wants me to be a good person. Does that make sense? And if he wants me to be a good person, then some people are good enough to be saved and some people are bad enough to be lost. Now, I'm not saying that's right. It's flat out wrong. But you can see, right, that's what you might call a natural theology. In fact, many religions around the world essentially teach that. That you have to earn your salvation. Now, That ain't it. Well, why not? Well, we know the answer is none of us are at the core, right? We know how to behave in public, but at the center of our heart is something that is not pure and holy, right? But the other thing is, is this very practical matter. If I said to you, you have to be saved by your good works, then you might say to me, well, how many good works do I have to do? Right? And so you might think, well, is it this many? Is it this many? Right? And there are some people that always worry, and I hear people say as they near death, I hope I was good enough to make it to heaven. And the answer is, well, you weren't, but I know a Savior, right? So works righteousness, now works righteousness in the crass way says, you have to be good enough to earn your salvation. But some people have tried to sneak it in by the back door. And so they'll say, okay, you're saved by faith, but they do this. You're saved by faith plus works. It's mostly faith, but it's also your works. Is that biblical? No, it's not. Because the same question comes in, how many works and did I do enough? Right? So the Lutheran Church has always taught, by the way, we're not the only ones, Bible-believing Christians get that the Bible says that sinners standing before an angry God have nothing in their hands, not a thing. We bring nothing to the table and say, dear Lord, for the sake of Christ, right? For the sake of Christ, receive me. Now, here's the thing. The Bible says you're saved by faith alone. It says it over and over. No place as clear as Romans chapter 3, right? We maintain that a man is justified by what? By faith, apart from the works of the law, Romans 3:28, right? By faith, apart from the works of the law. This is one of the things we need to bear in mind, by the way, about works righteousness. Not only are we not good enough to earn our salvation, but because you're saved by the atoning sacrifice of Jesus and nothing else, if we say that you're saved partly by your works, we're actually denigrating what Christ has done, right? You're saved by faith in Christ, the Holy One who died and rose again for you, by faith, apart from the works of the law. Now, what is the Athanasian Creed saying then? I want us to get two things. Always, always, always hold on. You are saved by faith alone. You don't earn it. You can't earn it. You'll never be good enough. So if you're not going to earn it, then it's just a gift, right? It's given to you. God in his grace and mercy says, here's Christ for you. You're saved by faith alone. Now, here's the thing that happens. When it comes to the article of how am I saved, the answer is by grace, through faith, nothing else. But then the question becomes, if you've been saved by faith, does God mean you should live like the devil? Right? And some people misunderstand it. Some people think, well, Christianity is a get-out-of-jail-free card. I heard the pastor say, you're saved by faith alone. Now I can live how I want. That person is playing a game with God, and they will have a rude awakening on the judgment day. So the Bible does not say, I'm not trying to get to faith plus works. I'm saying these two things. You're saved by faith alone. Second idea, faith produces works. Faith produces works. Does that make sense? Real faith does. Now, I want us to take a peek at our readings tonight. The first one, Ephesians, they're in your bulletin. You often find Christians say Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, right? Sometimes people don't have that as their email tagline. They have their name and it says Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. Now, they're right. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 is by grace you've been saved through faith. This is not from yourselves. I love that phrase, by the way. What's not from yourselves? Everything that proceeds, both grace and faith. Some people think God's grace, my faith. Well, God worked that faith in you, right? God and his word and his Holy Spirit tugging at our stubborn heart has even worked that faith. So by grace you've been saved through faith. That's not from you. It's a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. But here's what people do. They quote 8 and 9. And I put in the bulletin verse 10. And I want us to notice this. This is St. Paul. St. Paul is the faith alone guy, right? So does St. Paul have any confusion about faith and works? No, first of all, it's St. Paul. But second of all, he's writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He says all that by grace through faith. Verse 10, we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. How about that? He's not saying you're saved by faith plus works. He's saying you're saved by faith, and that faith expresses itself. Now, I want us to hear something about good works. What are good works? Good works means something that actually serves your neighbor. In the past, the church has invented good works that were ritualistic. For instance, going up a set of stairs on your knees, saying a Hail Mary on every stair. Hail Mary, next step, Hail Mary, next, right? Is that a good work? It actually does nothing. No. Here's a good work. There's a kid in the hall with a runny nose and you grab a facial tissue. Is that a good work? That is a good work. The funny thing is, I think a lot of good works are the little good works. Making dinner is a good work. Did you know that? Being pleasant to the people that live in your house. Oh, Pastor, don't say that, please. Right? Hear me out. Being pleasant to the people in your house, that's a real good work. Not a ritualistic work, a good work. And Paul says you've been saved by grace through faith, and God has prepared you to do good works. Now, take a peek at James. The reason I say those practical things is because everybody knows James is the guy that says faith without works is dead. And you probably know Martin Luther didn't like this book. Okay, I'm going to be really radical here and say Martin Luther was wrong. Luther misunderstood James, and so he said we shouldn't read this book. But here's one problem. It's in the Bible. It's in my Bible anyway. It's in yours too. By the way, James is not using the words exactly like Luther is. Luther was saying you're saved by faith alone because he was thinking of all those artificial made-up works that the church did. And he said you're saved by faith alone and not by that stuff. When James says you're not saved by faith alone, he's not addressing what Luther's addressing. He's saying that some people have turned faith into just an intellectual exercise. I've heard propositional truth. I agreed with them. I don't live it. In that case, James says you're not saved by faith alone. That faith is dead. That's what he's saying. He's saying, but by the way, notice he's not saying that you're not saved by faith. He says, show me your faith without deeds. I'll show you what? My faith, right? He's not saying that I earn my salvation. I show you my faith by what I do. Is James in the Bible? I think it is. And so it says faith without works is dead. So he's letting us know that you're supposed to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and then live that out. Now, here's a fun thing from Luther, because I just picked on the good doctor, so I want to quote him favorably. Martin Luther has a good comment here. This is from Luther's preface to the book of Romans. Luther wrote prefaces to all the books of the Bible. This is a good one. Talking about faith and what it does. He says, it is a living, busy, active, mighty thing, this faith. It is impossible for it not to be doing good works incessantly. It does not ask whether good works are to be done, but before the question is asked, it has already done them. Now, did he say you're saved by faith plus works? No, he's saying you're saved by faith, but your faith does what? Does do good works. And here's what's fun. In the Lutheran confessions, they ask this question. Are good works necessary for salvation? What's the answer? Are good works necessary? They say yes. How about that? So we're expecting, well, the Lutheran confessions are going to say not works, not works at all. We need to hear what they're saying. There's two ways to use the word necessary. One would be the wrong way. If you say good works are necessary to salvation, like you have to have faith, and then your works complete that salvation, that's not what they're saying. They say, and they explain this, that they say that good works are necessary to salvation in the sense that they always follow. It's a matter of A leads to B. And this is what they're saying. If there isn't a B, there isn't an A. You see what they're saying? Are good works necessary to salvation? Yes, as a matter of consequence. So that's what Luther's saying here. Listen to this. This knowledge of and confidence in God's grace makes people glad and bold and happy in dealing with God and with all creatures. Isn't that fun? And this is the work which the Holy Spirit performs in faith. Because of it, without compulsion, a person is ready and glad to do good to everyone, to serve everyone, to suffer everything out of love and praise to God. Thus, it is impossible to separate works from faith, quite as impossible as it is to separate heat and light from fire. Does fire make heat and light? Yes. And so faith does good works. Does that make sense? Now, here's what the Athanasian Creed is saying. At the very end of the Athanasian Creed, it says, those who've done good will enter eternal life, and those who've done evil into eternal fire. It is saying that as a summation of everything that's gone before. So what's gone before? Look at page 319, verse 1. Whoever desires to be saved must above all, what's the next verb? Hold the Catholic faith. That means that you believe. The rest of the creed is the content of our faith, and it says to be saved is to believe this. And at the end of the chapter, it says, oh, by the way, you also live it out. Does that make sense? So verse 1, to be saved, you must hold the Catholic faith. Verse 3, and the Catholic faith is this. And the next thing it does is it doesn't talk about your works. It talks about who God is. Right? At great length and at some repetition, as you might have noticed. It talks about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. There's not three gods, there's one God, etc. All of that is about who God is. And after it talks about who God is, in verse 28, it switches to what Jesus does. If you're talking about who God is and what Jesus does, how do you receive that? By faith. You see what it's saying? The whole creed is saying you're saved by this faith, and at the end, as a matter of summing up, God does judge our works. And that's exactly what Matthew 25 said. The sermon's long enough for me to not go into that passage for a great deal, but I love at the end of it says at the end of the judgment, God separates the sheep from the goats, and he says to the ones that are saved, you fed me and clothed me and visited me. And this is my favorite part of the whole text, my very, very favorite part of the whole text, that the righteous are practically unaware of their good works. Did you hear that? Sheep and goats, you clothed me, you fed me, you visited me, but the righteous in verse 37 say, Lord, when did we do that? You see what they're saying? They were saved by faith, and their good works were so natural to them. And by the way, you guys are the people of God, and you've often served other people. And sometimes somebody has said thank you for something, and you thought, right, what did I do? And Christ says, when you did it to the least of these. And in the goats, he says, you didn't clothe me or feed me. That's not the focus of the text. But did you notice they're so self-absorbed that they don't get it either? Even they say, when did we not do those things? When you didn't live it out. So does the Athanasian Creed teach works righteousness? No, it teaches what the Bible has always taught, that you're saved by faith and that faith produces works. Amen. We stand together. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds with Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. And I'm going to